I'm not going to make a lot of movement. I'll try to speak as slow as I can because English is not my first language. It's neither my second language. It's my third language. I learned it at school. But I'll try to speak slow so that everyone can follow. First and foremost, good morning. I'm happy to be here among you, and I want to thank God for this opportunity to stand before you. Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming to pick me and my daughter. I was worried when we had miscommunication, but God had made it for us to be together today. It is for the purpose. So I want to thank God for that. My name is Esther Muhagachi. She has already said I'm married. We have 4 children. We are blessed with 3 daughters and 1 son. And we love our family. We thank God that we are so lovely. We love each other. And Amos was supposed to be here, my husband, but he is not here because he went home. When I was about to come, his mother was sick, so he had to go back and take care of his mother. We are so thankful that the mother has recovered, and now he's thinking of coming back probably next week. Let's continue to pray for him, and want to thank God that we are together with my daughter, Peace. She is the baby of the house, and we love her, and she has got a school here in USA at Bethan School. She loves her school. Today, I want us to meditate about our call to the ministry. So I have given the theme, A Call to the Ministry. We will have 2 scriptures, which I would love my daughter to come and read for us. Do you have a Bible? Please come and read. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Okay. We'll begin with Ephesians, and then Corinth. We shall have 2 scriptures.
So, the first scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 13. Mm-hmm. And it says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lowest parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, and he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, and for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all came to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28.
It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, other that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for calling us into your ministry. And here we are today. We want to hear your voice. Please speak to us. Let us know what you have called us to do and the gift that you have given unto us so that we can be a gift to others in this community. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. As I was meditating about the ministry, I got a lot of definition of the ministry. I discovered there's a lot Some they call ministry as an office. Some they call it as to save, or the service towards the community. But I got a very nice definition which I want all of us to think about it, which says ministry is the faithful service of God's people rendered unto God and others on his behalf to bring him glory, build up his church, and reach out his world. I went ahead and looked for the minister. Then I found out the minister is one who serves people. So I came to the conclusion that we are all ministers. If I save to the people, then I am a minister. But do I need to have an office where I can sit and work? That was my question. Then I was looking on what Jesus did. We are coming from East Africa, Tanzania. In Tanzania, the first missionaries who brought the religion were coming from Lancaster Mennonite Conference. The Lancaster Conference brought the ministry, the Word of God, through Lake Victoria, and they came to a place called Shirati. So when they came, they started a ministry at that center, and they were preaching, they built a church, they built a hospital, and people could come together to learn. And what they did, they say, okay, we are the disciple, we want to minister to the people. And Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he did three things. He taught, he preached, and he healed the sick. So through that ministry, many people came to know Jesus. That is the conference where my husband is brought from. Where I come from Anglican background. My father is a pastor. My grandfather is a bishop, but he's not. He's no more. He died in 2014. But I come from the Christian background, where people know what to do in the Christian perspective, to preach the gospel, to tell other people about the Christian, to bring people to know God and make him known. So in this scripture where we have read, I want us to meditate about the gift that God has given unto us. Verse 12 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for perfecting and building the body of Christ. And when I was reading 1 Corinthians, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and God has set some of you to be the prophet, to be the teacher, to be the preachers, and some miracles were happening in the community of believers. So the question is, where are we sitting as the body of Christ, as the community of believers? Where are we sitting? Okay, if we are looking for the preaching, yes, Jesus did this. We can see churches, and in the church there are preachers. There are those working in the church, ministries. But are we all going to be the preachers? Are we going to be preaching as the community of believers? Everyone must have the Bible and go and preach? I don't think so. When we see the teaching, we can see schools where we find teachers and we find the people working in the school. We have the Sunday school teachers. But are we all the Sunday school teachers? Are we all the teachers? I don't think so. In the healing ministry, that's where we find hospitals, we find hospices, we find care and treatment centers. But can we all go and work in the hospital? Can we all go and be the nurses, the doctors? I don't think so. But we are all the hand and feet of God to reach the people. So where are we fitting as the body of Christ? as the community of believers. There are many people suffering around the community, around this world. There are many people who are in need, and they need our response to the call that God has placed into us. I was so disturbed when I was thinking about the call to this ministry. And I thought maybe my father is a pastor, I need also to be a pastor. Maybe I can be the preacher as he was doing. Maybe I can go to the church and tell other people about the gospel. But when I read the Bible tells me, okay, Jesus sent people to be the preachers, to be the teachers, and to do the ministry to perfect his body and build the kingdom of God. So, as I was growing, I thought maybe I could go to the Bible school so that I can know where my call is. And when I thought of going to the Bible school, I was discouraged because my church was not ordaining women. And my father told me, okay, my daughter, I know you love God and you want to be in his ministry, but God can still use you even if you don't go to the Bible school. And I said, I want to study. I want to be a minister. I want to be ordained. It couldn't work the way I wanted. It didn't work. I got a pastor in my congregation who talked to me about the call. He mentored me to be a nurse. And he told me, if you become a nurse, you will do the work that Jesus did. It's one of the ministry of God, so you will fulfill your call. I went to the nursing school. I was trained to be a nurse. It is the profession that I hold dear in my heart. I love to be a nurse. I love to serve people. But I was still disturbed. Am I real doing the God's ministry? Am I doing the ministry of Jesus? I kept on thinking about it. When I married my husband, he was not ordained, but they had nominated him to be a pastor. I thought maybe I will follow his call so I can be a co-minister of God, so I can fulfill my inner call. But it did not work well the way I wanted it. So as I was preparing to share with you, I thought maybe I can share a little bit of how God called my husband and I to this ministry. We moved to Dodoma from Shirati, where the gospel started from Lancaster. That was the headquarters of Mennonite Church in Tanzania. So we moved to the central part of Tanzania, where there was no Mennonite at all. There were very few people who were just moved. So we started a new congregation. You are many. We were six when we started the ministry. And I remember very well when we started that ministry, I had to think twice on how I can chip in to help him in the ministry. Remember, I'm not ordained. He was an ordained minister, a pastor of Mennonite Church. So I started the ministry with the women of the church, sitting under the tree. We had no office. We had no chairs. So I could move the chairs from my sitting room, taking there under the tree. Every Friday, we discussed on what we can do in the church as the women of God. I remember when I was praying with the women, we thought of addressing the issues of the community. The community of Dodoma had people living with HIV, and they were suffering from stigma and discrimination. So I used my knowledge as a nurse to help those people to know how HIV is an infection, how can they prevent from getting infection from HIV, how does it spread, how can you support the person with HIV without getting an infection? We started little by little, and the people were so moved. They wanted to know. Friday were few. Next Friday, they came many, next and next. Remember, we were doing it on Fridays because we wanted to involve the community, so on Sundays, they could go back to their churches. Immediately we started seeing people coming for counseling. By then I was working in the hospital. Then in 2007, I decided to stop working in the hospital and do full-time ministry. The church decided to hire a house, a home, where we could go to meet. And then I opened the office where people could come for the counseling. We started little by little. The church gave me one Sunday to preach. Every month I could have one Sunday to talk about HIV/AIDS. And the people within the community needed to know more about HIV/AIDS. I remember when we were doing door-to-door evangelism, we were walking to, you know, visiting the people living with HIV. And there was a woman who was a Muslim, and she had heard about the ministry that we are doing, but she couldn't come because she was very sick. She sent people for us to go and pray for her. So when we reached there, she had lost hope completely. She was on her bed, and she was very sick. We did not preach to her. What we did, I started cleaning at her house, and my friend was washing the dishes, and we made a porridge for her. We made her sit down, and we gave her a cup of porridge. After she had taken the porridge, we prayed, and we left. She was so moved. We found her crying. We left her laughing. Finally, she decided to come to the church with her three daughters. Remember, they were both Muslim, but they wanted to come to see the church that has went there to see and help them. Right now, as I am speaking, they are all baptized to be a Christian. They converted to be a Christian. We did not preach for them, but we did help to them. In the women ministry, I teach sister care on how everyone needs the other. I have a friend from Pennsylvania who prepared the material for sister care. Do you know sister care ministry? It's a ministry of women in the USA. So she gave me a book called Sister Care. I translated in Swahili and I started teaching the women in Tanzania. There is this story of a girl who was frightened because of the thunder. And every day when there is thunder, she could just go running and jump in the middle of the bed, frightened. And one day her mother called her and talked to her. "My daughter, you don't need to run to my room. You just pray and know that God is protecting you. God is there to protect you." And the mother thought maybe she talked to her and she understands. But another time when the thunder came, she did the same thing. And then the mother came and asked, "Didn't I tell you that even when you are in your room, God is still watching and protecting you?" She said, "Mother, I understand very well, but I need God with skin on." So she saw a mother and a father as a God with skin on. Isn't that what community wants for us to do? I think the community needs us. People around the world are suffering. Many are sick. Others have problems. They need God with skin on. The preacher can preach. The prophet can prophesy. Other people can pray and let them go, but always they need to see a hand, someone to pat on your shoulder, someone to tell you, "Here I am." God with skin on. Most of people think that doing ministry is only for the pastors or ordained people. That's what I was thinking. That's why I struggled that I could go to them, to the school, to be taught on how to stand before people and preach. But actually, our action can preach. If we did not cook for that woman, if we did not clean her house, if we had gone and just say, "God is there with you," we pray and we lay hands and just believe and trust God will help her and leave, she wouldn't come back to our church. maybe she could have got received healing, I don't know. But maybe the action that we did in that house helped her to know that they are people of God. They are hand and feet of God, people who care, who can come and share with you that here I am, God with skin on. Where are you fitting in the body of Christ? We need each other in the ministry. We need to perform the ministry that will build up the body of Christ. I want to encourage you that you are the community of believers. You know probably each other very well because they're a small group. But there are people outside there who need to know you, who need to hear your voice, who need to see you touching them as the minister of God. We are all hands and feet of God. I've never seen God coming down and saying, "Here I am, omnipowerful God, preaching to people." He always uses people, and mostly very humble people who are ready to be sent to reach the unreached people. My husband and I, we are in the ministry where people are very vulnerable. Most vulnerable children. Children were born with HIV/AIDS, and people are neglecting them, thinking that they are dying tomorrow. I have a lot of stories of the children who were abandoned because they were born with HIV. It breaks my heart always to see an innocent kid born with HIV being abandoned because of the status. The child did not apply to be born with HIV. The child did not apply to be born in a poor family. They need a person to reach them. That is not the work of the pastor. It's not the work of the ordained. You don't need to be ordained to reach the unreached. You just need to feel and hear the inner call. Where you feel like you can touch people like God with skin on. I know God gave gifts to many people differently. God can send you to do his ministry in his way, the way he wants. All what God needs is you to say, "Here I am, God, send me." In Africa, we most of people doesn't know where they can place themselves. We keep on struggling. You don't know where to go and what to do. I don't know, it might be different here because people can know what to do. Maybe the technology is even more advanced. But what does God need? Discernment of serving him. Asking him, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where can I go?" As I was praying, I was like, "God, I wanted to be a pastor. But where? How can I serve you? Whatever I do, I just want to know if God is with me so that I can represent him into the ministry." I want to conclude by asking each one of us to listen to what God is calling you to do in his ministry. The body is made up of many parts. Which part are you in his ministry? I might not know, and you might not know, but God knows why you are here. He has placed you into his ministry for the purpose. Behind you lies the purpose of God to be using you. There is that inner part which has sent you to do something so that you can build the body of Christ. Ask him to show you where you can stand so that you can build his kingdom. You can have a silence prayer. and then I can conclude.
Dear God,
you are all powerful and trustworthy. You are a powerful God, and we thank you for the gift of life and the gift that you have given unto each one of us. You made us differently, perfectly, and we thank you for the care and support that you are giving unto us. Help us, Lord, to understand why you called us to build your body. Help us to use our gift to help one another and build your kingdom. Thank you for the few words that have spoken to your people. Please help us to understand the purpose that you have called us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you.